want to say welcome. We're excited that you're here. We're grateful that you are all here with us as we celebrate another Sunday together. Thank you so much. This helps me not to fall off, so I appreciate it. Hey, we get to celebrate another week together. It's a blessing that we get to gather as a church family each and every week. And if you're new, welcome. If you're trying to figure out this whole faith thing, we are excited that you are here as you navigate all of these faith and life and what that means. But we're just excited that you've chosen to gather with us today. And we are in a series called Why We Gather. You just saw the bumper video there. And we're in the fourth week of the series where we're going to be talking about, hey, why do we do what we do? Why do we gather the way we do? Why do we do these things on a Sunday morning the way we do? Because they inform who we are as people. They inform how we live our lives as Christians in the world. And so the first week we kicked off with this idea of, hey, why do we gather at all in weekly rhythms and why do we serve? 2 weeks before that we talked about, hey, why do we preach the word? Why do we faithfully preach from this truth, that this truth as our authority as the people of God? Last week, we kind of switched the game up a little bit and had an interview where we talked with Kyle Guyman, our worship director, who just led us, and Adrienne Miller, who's been on our team, about why we sing. And it was a beautiful opportunity to do something a little different. And this is everyone's favorite week, why we give. Why we give. Why do we every week come up here and present an opportunity for you to extend yourself financially as it relates to meeting the needs of our local church family? And so, because there's purpose in it. There's purpose about why we extend ourselves with our time, our talent, our treasure, and really our stories to one another. And so, before you turn me off today, I know this brings a lot of thoughts, a lot of history to the scene, but I want to talk about generosity at large and why we give rather than just specifically money and finances. But I wholeheartedly have a belief and a passion for speaking on this rightly, because oftentimes people shy away from talking about money because of certain fears or insecurities that could arise. But I have a background before being a pastor in financial services, and I care about stewarding the money God gives us in a way to best glorify him. And I love that we get to preach from his word, because he talks, and Jesus specifically talks about money and resources many, many times throughout the word. So we're going to do some business today as it relates to why we give. And so this idea of why we give never really came into existence for me until I was really a senior in college. And so growing up, I didn't have much. I've shared with my story a little bit last week. I didn't grow up with a lot in my family. We had six kids, two adults. There was a family of eight under one roof of like probably 1,400 square feet. That's a lot of people in a small space. And just to give you a frame of reference, my mom was a school nurse, so our breakfast plates were those school lunch trays with all the little compartments in it. Every morning we had and ate from those, and our laundry bins were recycling bins. And so my stepfather just got from the town. And so that was, we had everything we needed growing up, and I had a blessed life, but at the same time, we didn't have all the wants, the things that we wanted, but we had everything we needed. And then growing up, I'm sure you're familiar with that one family that you have in your life that you always wanted to go hang out at their house. That they were always the most hospitable. People were always over there. Well, I happened to be best friends with their son, and I was literally always over there as a child from ages 10 on. And what happened there and why I loved going there is because they had this pantry in their basement that was continually stocked with stuff. I mean, as a kid, they had chips, they had Pop-Tarts, they had gummies, Kool-Aid things, and I had so much Red 4 up until my, like, teenage high school years that could feed four different lifetimes of the amount of chemicals you should have had. And I constantly rated it, because we didn't have that stuff in my house. We had everything we needed, but their generosity and then we came back to their house, and it was always replenished, and I was like, I was hitting that thing up all the time. And so a few years passed as I progress with them, and they invited me to this all-nighter with their son. I was around 13 at the time, and I didn't know who Jesus was, really, and this idea of, like, all-nighters with students, what is this thing? And they said, hey, we'll pay for you. So I was like, sure, it's free to me. We couldn't afford it. Why not? Why don't I go? And so I had a blast that night, staying up all through the night, just playing games, going to different places around my hometown. It was fun. Fast forward a few years after that, they invited me to a student retreat for a weekend, and it was like $450. It was like, hey, heads up, we can't afford that. But they said, no, we got you. I was like, sweet, I'll take a free ride again. But their generosity continued. It continued when I graduated college. High school. They gave me a gift after I came to know Jesus. They sent me on a missions trip where they paid really a third of my way. And I just kept on thinking throughout this whole time, why are they so generous towards me? And so that's when I was 19 years old, where I just went up to the family, the parents, and I said, hey, I love how gracious you guys have been through me throughout my life, but, like, why have you been so generous to me? And they said this line that is etched in my mind, and I'm probably going to cry right in the opening illustration, but they said this line that will forever be in my DNA. It's just, they said, because we get to. Why are you so generous to me? Because we get to. And in understanding that line, that perspective, that idea, really speaks to the heartbeat of why we give as a church. Because we get to. And so what I want to do today is look at God's word, understand how he says to position our lives as generous lives to be a blessing, and to understand this we get to heart, this generous heart, as it relates to why we give. So if you'd open up your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. While you navigate there, let me set the stage for us. So we're going to a specific place of Scripture where Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. This is 2 Corinthians, and so it's really maybe not even the second letter. It could be the third or the fourth letter to the Corinthians. But what he's doing is he's setting the stage, because there's something happening in Jerusalem. The Jewish Christians, there's a famine happening in Jerusalem that Paul is calling the Corinthians out, really, for their forgotten generosity. He's really sarcastically speaking at certain times, where he's holding up these other churches that are just so enthusiastic about what they're partnering in, and how their joy is to send this gift that Paul is collecting to the church in Jerusalem to meet this need. And so if you know anything about Corinthians, they're a jacked up people just like us in a lot of ways. They got some wrong motives, wrong thinking. But what Paul is doing, he's calling them lovingly on the carpet to remember why they are generous, to remember this gift that they have promised. And so we'll read together in 2 Corinthians 9. We'll start in verse 6 through 9. It says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. As it relates to why we give, I want to position this thought in front of you, and it's my first point. We get to earnestly pursue being a blessing. We get to pursue earnestly extending ourselves and being a blessing to those God has placed around us, our local churches, with our lives. We get to earnestly pursue being a blessing. And what do I mean when I say that? Well, Paul speaks to it specifically to the Corinthians. He's reminding them in this short few verses of two specific things. this act of sowing and the posture in which we sow. This act of sowing and the posture in which we do it. So what do I mean? This act of sowing is this idea that we are availing ourselves, we're positioning ourselves to do work, to give, to extend ourselves. There's a movement, there's an effort involved in our sowing. It's both with our, it's with our time, it's with our talents that God has given each and every one of us in this room. It's with our financial resources. It's with our stories that God has given us. But we are extending ourselves to others, pursuing being a blessing. It's the act of sowing that requires movement. And secondly, there's this posture in which we sow. And so, because it does matter how we do the work. We can do it stingily. Paul says in this section, we can do it begrudgingly, we can do it with a poor attitude, or we can do it with this idea of bountifully. This word in the Greek, bountifully, is with blessings. We can sow with blessings and reap with blessings. Because how many of you know that you can give, but you can give out of an empty tank, begrudging heart, and that does nothing? Or you can give and saying, God, it's all yours. And what happens in your soul, there's something that happens by God's grace deep in your soul where we understand whose we are and what is ultimately his. And so this is where I get the idea of the garden idea. And I know that a lot of the college students are walking through 1 Peter where they're talking about being a garden and cultivating the garden. You can cultivate a small plot, right? You can invest minimally, and you will still get a yield. But if you don't do it and take care of it and cultivate it in a way where you're taking out the weeds, it will ultimately yield something poor, something begrudging. It won't yield much. But if you take time and you do it in joy and you do it with intensity and care and position yourself, what happens? The bounty, the fruit that is produced is life-giving, and there's much of it. And that is what Paul is saying to these Corinthians. He's saying, hey, heads up. You can give this gift in a way that doesn't bring life, and you can, you know, give it out of coercion, and he doesn't want that heart. He wants you to give and earnestly pursue being a blessing with almost self-forgetfulness. And almost understanding, hey, this is not mine, this is God's, and I just give it and make myself available day in, day out to being a blessing to others. That's the heart that Paul is saying to us here. You see, for me, I did not, like I mentioned to you, I did not grow up with much, so anything that I got, I wanted to save. Any savers in the room that just never want to spend? We got two. Three. All right, we got a few. But for me, I never wanted to spend much at all, just enough to get by. And so I had a couple $1,000s in the bank just saving my money as a kid. And I probably could have bought a $2,000, $3,000 car at the time. But I spent $500 on my first car, a 1988 Oldsmobile Cutlass. It was the color rust and barely ran. And it was straight sheet metal, but the steering wheel was like butter, which is not a good thing. And it had like a velvet interior, but it did the job. It was $500. It had like a stereo system in it, so I was good. I could have bought something nicer, but I was cheap and ultimately paid more in the long run. And that mindset traversed to college. I lived on a steady stream of ramen noodles, pizza, and microwavable rice in college. Those little packets of rice that you microwave for like 90 seconds. And I definitely took years off my life during that time. But the fact is, I didn't have to spend much money. I didn't have crazy amounts of student loans. And I wish I could tell you that was because I had good financial sense. And that's probably part of it, just because of how I was formed, but it was more so because I believed that I didn't and wouldn't have enough. And fast forward to that, after getting out of college, I was a financial advisor for under financial advisors for a while, where I'm talking to people about money, retirement, all this stuff. It just reinforced my heart of not ever having enough, so my hands remained closed. When I got married at around 24 years old, my wife and I were on vacation, and this is where things about why we give changed me. We were at my friend's house down in South Carolina, and we were there for the week, and we were just on vacation, spending time with them. A few days before we left, all of a sudden, there's a tow truck in the driveway. And I'm like, why is your car getting towed? It was getting repoed. And so I said, hey, what's happening here? That was their only mode of transportation to and from work. And so then they shared, hey, we're behind on payments. And so I was like, well, I've been saving my little emergency fund, Dave Ramsey in it, you know, putting it away. There we go. And I had about $4,000 saved at the time. But God was doing something on my heart to step into this moment, saying, hey, how could I be a blessing in this and just doing work on my heart? And so I was, in my mind, I was saying, you know, maybe this is like just two payments, three payments, right? And I was like, I think I can, you know, maybe $1,000, something like that. Anyways, I just said, hey, share with me how far you're behind. Nine payments on a car over a period of time, it ended up being $3,500. And so I said, you know, God, what are you doing? You know, how, you know, can I just back up? My wife, who's at the first service, she's like, just give it all away. And I'm like, no. But ultimately, we said, hey, we prayed about it together and we said, hey, we're just going to cover you in full. We're going to bring you back up to par, and we paid for it in full. Not saying pay us back, nothing. We just said, hey, just take it. My savings account went down to $500 that day as a young married. But what happened and what was produced, because we were availing ourselves to being a blessing and pursuing it, it overflowed in like, what are you, what, from my friend, like, what? Why would you do that? Because we get to. We get to earnestly pursue being a blessing with all God has given us. And that is what Paul is speaking to in this passage of the Corinthians. We get to pursue being a part of a story and being a blessing to those around us. We get to, church. That's a generous heart. And so my question for you in this part is this: are you earnestly pursuing being a blessing to those around you? Or are you holding your hands closed? Are you earnestly pursuing being it in the local church with your giving, no matter where you are? I know we're all different spaces, different stories, but are you pursuing that with your time, your talent, your treasure, and your story? Or are you closing your fists? And also, how are you doing it? Are you doing it begrudgingly, like, here, I got to give to the church again, right? Or are you doing it in worship? Doing it to say, I can partner in this with other people and earnestly desiring and pursuing it as a people. Second point I want to make is this: we get to trust God's provision and production and not our own. We get to trust God's production and provision and not our own. We'll read here in verses 10 through 12. Paul's saying this to the Corinthians: he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. What Paul is positioning in front of the Corinthians regarding this forgotten generosity, because they haven't been transformed by Jesus, as it relates to their finances, as it relates to their giving, is this: hey, he's the one who supplies every single need you have. He's the one who's gotten the food in your stomach to this day. He's the one who provided the breath in your lungs. He will give you the seed, this idea of he will provide it for you to be generous. Not this prosperity posture, but this idea of you, as you extend your hands, he will give you the seed you need. And he will also multiply that because it's his production, his provision, and not our own. And so when I was thinking on this point, it just immediately brought the event that Jesus was walking through with the disciples earlier in his ministry. And he was in Matthew 14. Let me set the stage and I'll read it for us. But what was happening in Matthew 14 was this. Jesus just got done healing many people who were sick. He got done after a long day and was tired and just wanted to retreat. Same thing with the disciples. They were ministering in their own way, and the disciples just wanted people to go away. But what happens in this exchange, and I want you to see it, is this is what happens when we trust in God's provision and production, and we'll read it here. Matthew 14, or we'll start in verse 15. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." I love Jesus when he says this, but Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And then they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. How does this even relate to what I said about trusting in God's provision and production? Well, if you were to put me in the scene, I'd probably exactly be like the disciples. I'd be like, "I'm done. Let them go fend for themselves, and we'll just camp out for the night." And Jesus is probably is definitely tired too. But he says, "Hey, this is where you're going to start trusting in me and my production and my provision, and watch me go to work for my Father's glory." And what he says is, "Bring those 5 loaves and 2 fish to me," which I always, when I read this, I always think the creator of the universe, is who created these 5 loaves and 2 fish, is about to do work with the and now feed 5,000 people, which is, so he provides, he really provided the seed and the creation of it, did he not? And then what did he do? He multiplied it. He blessed, he broke it before the Father, and he provided. And what happened at the end? They were satisfied. Other accounts in the other Gospels speak to this idea. It says they glorified God because of his miraculous work. He provided the seed. He multiplied it. People were enriched. Church, we can trust that God is a provider today of all our needs. We can trust that he will multiply as we open our hands, not maybe multiply the ways we think we should see that multiplication, but in the ways he has designed for his good purposes. That we may not have bank accounts that grow, but we may have spiritual fruit that grows deep in our hearts, where we become more like the image of God we were created in, because we trust in his provision and his production. But it only happens as we open our hands and say, "God, take it all. I push it all in because you've given it all and you call me to be generous." And now I want to bring this to the ground level a little bit for us. I'm so grateful for you, even in my short time of being here, because I've seen God at work, even in my small time, through your giving. Both with your time and your talents, yes, but with your provision of your finances. Because I can give you a snapshot of just really this past week, past month and a half, of how, because you give, we get to see things happen. because you faithfully have given to Grace Community Church, UB family. We get to see this beautiful crew of college students right here faithfully meet. There was around 90, over 100 college students meeting at Monday Gathering where they are being discipled and cared for, and now you're doing small groups, which I love. Because you give, we get to be a part of that. Because you give, we get to see God work in crazy ways where we get to see over 200 women this past week gathered around the Romans study, where we get to see 200 lives stewarded to know Jesus in deeper ways. Because you give, we got to see over 100 men come around God's word in the Galatians study just this past week. About 4 weeks ago, we got to see a picture of the Mayflower Church. Because you gave and God multiplied that seed, we got to be a part of a story of redemption by God's grace of people that were fleeing persecution and are now settled in East Texas. Because you gave, we get to minister, church. Because you give, we get to partner with 18 families, missionary families around the world that are ministering places we may never go, but because you give, we get to partner in the gospel being proliferated, people set free in those areas. Because you give, we get to. I can go on and on and on. Also, because you give, we get to partner in adoption and foster services with the Fostering Collective. And so many other organizations, both locally and globally, because you give, we get to. And God has provided all we need. And he is producing by his grace through your giving all these beautiful things. And this is the one that's going to get me every single time. Because you give, because you gave, we get to provide environments where just this past week, multiple people at our UB family have put their faith in Jesus Christ, going from death to life because you give, church. Can we not celebrate that today? Because we are extending ourselves and making ourselves available and earnestly pursuing being a blessing. Because we get to trust in God's provision and production and not our own. We get to be a part of watching the seed multiplied and enriched, and it's overflowing in thanks. That's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians here. Because you give, we get to see this happen in the lives of the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. It's beautiful, church. My question to us is, do we see it? Do we see his production, his work? Do we see his provision in our lives? We're here today, right? Most of us have eaten. Most of us have breath in our, well, I hope we all have breath in our lungs today, otherwise that'd be a problem. But the reality is we are here because God's grace and God's alone. My question to us is, do we trust his provision? Do we trust his production, or do we trust our own good works? Do we trust when he says he will provide seed for us to sow? Do we trust that he will enrich us in his way, in his time, or do we trust our own? That is the question we must ask ourselves today. And lastly, the first two points are good points, but if they're not grounded in this last point, it means nothing. Here's the last point. We get to confess and believe the generous gospel. We get to confess and believe the generous gospel. Finishing up that 2 Corinthians 9 passage, it says this in verse 13 through 15. By their approval, the Jewish Christians, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of their surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Paul is saying to the Corinthians that in your earnest pursuit of being a blessing, and you're trusting in God's provision and grace, all of that is produced because of a heart that understands the reality of how generous God has been in extending Jesus, the Savior of the world, to redeem our souls. The generous story we've been invited into because he has first been generous to us. Church, I'm going to read this, but I just want us to think on these words. Church, we get to because Jesus ultimately was given. We get to because God promised to provide the seed that we couldn't provide. We get to have life because Jesus' life was ultimately given. We get to have a relationship with the Father because Jesus gave his perfect life in exchange for our sin. We get to be a blessing in this local church because he, though he was rich, he became poor for our sakes. We get to gather today because he welcomed us into a story we did not deserve. We get to serve because he first served us. We get to sing because he paved the way for our singing to be complete. We get to give because he gave everything. You see, church, God gave his first and best in Christ. So when I look at why we give, because we get to. I get to give because I have been given in full. I have get to give because I got given a gift that I did not deserve due to my sin. I get to give because I've been welcomed into a story that as far surpasses the story of myself. And as I close, I start to understand now why that family who was generous to me, a punk of a kid, but they just did it so overwhelmingly. Why? Because they were tethered to the person of Jesus. They didn't moan when I ate all of their snacks every single week. They didn't complain when they're like, oh, this kid again is not be able to afford it. I guess we'll do it. Send me to an all-nighter or to pay $500, $400, $500, whatever it was to me to go to a retreat. Because of their generosity, do you know why I'm passionate about the gospel? Because God rescued me. So why do I give? Because I get to church because he ultimately gave. And if we can open our hands to being a blessing and pursuing it, if we can trust God's provision and production and not our own, and if we confess and believe this good gospel, I can tell you we will be a generous church. And we already are, but he continues to make us more and deeper into his image as we walk with him. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I'm going to invite the worship band out to play, but I'm going to close this in prayer. And we're going to sing, Jesus is better. He's the first and best. So let's pray. God, thank you so, so much. That though we turned and sinned against you, you didn't stop pursuing being a blessing to us. You cared for your people, you pursued them, you wanted them to honor you, and they kept on turning your back, just like my own heart. But at just the right time, you sent that which was first and best. You were generous towards us when we didn't deserve it. And because of the perfect life, the sacrificial death on the cross, and the overcoming power of the grave, we get to live in light of that perfect record because Jesus was given as your first and best. You did not withhold anything. You gave it in full so we could be reclaimed, renovated. Our hearts can be full because of your grace and generosity. God, let us be a people who are generous because of the gospel that we know. Jesus, we need you, and we know that you are better. Thank you so much for who you are. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.